Hi, everybody. My name is Phyllis, and I'm a food addict. When Kathy asked me to share, I was like, "Well, I haven't told my story in a while, so I need to say okay about the recording. I'm good." I was like, "Well, I haven't told my story in a while, at least not on a screen, or even in the rooms." Anyway. I came into Overeaters Anonymous in October of 1978. I was 29 years old, getting ready to turn 30, and I had been using and abusing food and food plans and food. It had been pretty much my my go-to for my adolescence and young adulthood. I came as a result of somebody in my office telling me they were going to go and would I meet them there? And I thought, why not? And like our invitation to you says, you know, I got there and I was like, this is so different. And I felt at home actually. And everybody seemed really kind and happy. And there was a lot of weight loss and it was a big meeting. You know, back in the 80s, our meetings were much larger and in person, and it was just a different context for my recovery at that point. I got abstinent. I started losing weight. I got a sponsor finally, because that whole I when they would read the steps, the inventory part and the amends part was like, I don't think I want to do that. But you know, that was before I had much of a relationship with my higher power. I had not been raised in any kind of religion or any kind of, you know, rules and regulations kind of spiritual atmosphere. Maybe that's good, maybe that's bad. I don't know. You know, it was my experience. I was very active in OA for about 11 years. I led meetings. I started a meeting. I was responsible for a newcomer meeting. I was part of intergroup. I went to a World Service Conference several times. I went to regional conferences or regional conventions. I was secretary of Region 3 for a couple of years. So I was very involved service-wise. I sponsored. I had a sponsor. Yeah, the 12 steps. I always say, you know, the 12 steps gave me a way to grow up. It gave me a design for living that I had not been able to absorb as I grew up. I grew up in a was I was birthed by teenagers. That's always a lot of fun, and I was the oldest of four, which entailed me having a lot of responsibility, and I used. In my childhood, I started using, probably gaining weight when I started around 6, 7, 8 years old in that age group. And my parents were very disturbed about the fact that I was overweight because my father found it disgusting and he couldn't understand how his daughter was using or doing this behavior and he couldn't control it. That was very frustrating for someone who had so much issues with his own control. He was very much control freak and was for a long time, and probably until his until he started to age and couldn't do all the things that he did in the past. But that's my father, and I don't really, I mean, I've done a lot of work around that. And you know, I came to reconciliation with him and all that went on in my childhood and past in that home. But you know, I left my home and I started making my own decisions, and they were not real good ones, I might add. So when I throughout my 20s, I was using food, alcohol, drugs, that kind of you know, 60s, early 70s stuff. What can I say? That's what I wasn't much different from the rest of, you know, that generation, a portion of it. I'm not going to say all of it, but there was a portion of us who, you know, what do you get? Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And when it came into OA, I started working the steps. And back then, I think to my advantage, there was just the big book and the AA 12 and 12 and a few pamphlets, the tools pamphlet, of course, gray sheet, the infamous gray sheet and the orange sheet. And I'm trying to think what other colors there were, but there were a lot of meetings in Arizona and Phoenix. There were a lot of meetings in Phoenix, and there were several very large meetings. And I was active in those meetings and active in marathons and retreats and all the rest of the things that, kind of the auxiliary part of OA, things that went beyond just the meetings. I got married in OA. I was living with my eating partner, and he was quite, concerned about the fact that I had stopped eating like he ate, and that I was losing weight, which I had never lost weight around him before. He had met me overweight. We had been together while we both were overweight, and so he also decided to join the program. And I don't know if he stayed for several years, but there was a time when it wasn't, he just didn't want to do it anymore. And I was unable to, I mean, I wasn't going to force him to recover, but my recovery was very important to me. We had a baby. I had a baby in OA. My daughter just turned 40. In 1985, I had my adorable baby girl who's now big, not big like overweight, tall. And that was a very the balance in the marital relationship just did not go well. He was used to being center of attention, and I was used to giving him all that attention. I have issues. Codependency is that people pleasing, that perfectionism, that enabling. I'm really good at it, and I can do it while I'm abstinent. I can do it when I'm eating. I mean, that is something that behavior is something that I've had to struggle with and recover from on a lot of different levels. But for me, that's an emotional sobriety that is almost pro is progressive in, I think, our recovery. When I had my child, and then 2 years later, the marriage ended. Pretty much was over within the first year of her birth, after her birth, and then I became a single parent and working full time and trying to raise my daughter with as best I could. I didn't have good role models, good parental role models, so OA and my spiritual recovery really helped with that. I took a lot of parent. I tried to take parenting classes. I tried to understand what a good parent was and how I could be a good parent. I left OA after about, I would say, somewhere in 92, 93. My daughter was about five, I think. But when you're, and I have a lot of empathy for single parents in this program or any 12-step program, because it takes a time and energy, and we can only do so much, which is not an excuse for using. But this is my story, and I did go back. I left OA, and my weight did come back. It never went over my top weight, but it never went back to a normal weight. There was a couple of episodes where I was able to, get some kind of abstinence, but it was not with a 12-step program. It wasn't a pay and weigh either, but it was more centered around a spiritual recovery, with my spiritual beliefs and practices. That was a hard time. I was away from OA, but it never leaves you. If you're in this program, and as long as I was, and as active as I was, and as committed as I was to how these steps work, they don't they don't really leave you. It's almost like they were embedded in my brain. When I would screw up, I was able to make amends. I was able to say, I messed up. And somebody called me on my stuff, I was able to understand that, yeah, they had a problem and I had a problem because they had a problem. Able to, turn my will and my life over to a care of a higher power that I had grown much closer to than any higher power I'd ever had before. And yesterday I was in a meeting. We were talking about all the places that we looked for acceptance and comfort, and all the things that we did with food and without food and all the rest of it. I was looking for the love that I get from my higher power in all the wrong places. And this comfort, or the ability to calm around my substance, was not. It was so short-lived. But my spiritual recovery has enabled me to, have a clarity about my life and how it should be led, or I not should be, but how I would like to lead it. I'm absolutely not perfect. I've dealt a lot around the shame issues that I've had with this disease. It is a very shameful thing to not be able to stop eating, to not be able to stay at a normal weight. And certainly, as a compulsive overeater, food addict, I know how to diet. I know how to lose weight. My problem has always been, how am I going to maintain and sustain this recovery on all levels, So, in 2018, I was still away from OA. Had gone to maybe a couple of meetings in that those decades, but I started abstaining through a food plan that really was very close to reishi, very close to giving up the very sugary, giving up the carbs, giving up refined carbohydrates. I certainly eat fruit, and I also eat, whole grains. But I started losing weight, and I lost pretty much down to my normal weight, and without program. Like I said, I know how to lose weight. I can lose weight. Especially if I have the commitment that I had retired. That was good, take away the stress. And it's always easier to look at a food plan as being doable. But when I decided, I need to go back to Overeaters Anonymous, because that's where I found my original abstinence. Those are people who eat and think and know what I'm talking about. No matter how much you want to try and explain what a food addiction is all about, a lot of people don't understand it, whether they're thin or fat or losing weight or gaining weight or whatever. I think food addiction is a very hard concept to to absorb and to try to understand, unless you have other people around you who are able to talk to you about their experience. So I started going back to OA in, I think, 2019, and I went to a it was a great meeting. I went to a meeting that was a 90-day meeting. Gracie, I don't know if you know anything about 90-day, but it was like a big book study, and it was I couldn't talk. I didn't have a sponsor there. All I did was I and it was a perfect. My higher power knew exactly what I needed. I needed to sit. I needed to keep my mouth shut. I needed to listen. I needed to start to get refreshed around this 12-step program that I was going to commit to again. And I did that for about, well, I went to that meeting pretty much regularly, and didn't really do anything other than show up on a Saturday morning and listen and smile, and and started reading my big book, and didn't really feel a part of yet. And then COVID came. So I went to a lot of phone meetings. And one of the things that really helped me with phone meetings, and I don't do with Zoom, but on phone meetings, I used to take notes. what people were saying. To keep myself focused on what was being said, I would take notes. I would write down things that they were saying that really struck
Mental
me.
reminder, 5 minutes left.
And that really helped too. COVID was such a strange time, and I didn't know anything about Zoom and didn't want to know anything about Zoom. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. When are my meetings coming back? You don't understand. And you know, we don't know what we have until we don't have it anymore. And that was the case with the face-to-face meetings. And in Phoenix, we were blessed to have an office. We don't have an office anymore. The office closed in February, but back then in COVID, when they said we could open up again with, you know, precautions, et cetera, they did open the meeting at the office, and I started going to it. There were two other people there, and of course, there was a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people who did not come back to face-to-face meetings. First of all, because of COVID, and second of all, Zoom is just so convenient. Come on, guys. I mean, you just sit in your living room and look at yourself on camera. Oh, anyway, I started going back to those meetings and started feeling a part of. And there was some people, the people who went to that meeting, a couple of women who were at that meeting were longtime OA members. They weren't anyone that I knew. They came in after I left. But they had been there a good 25 or 30 years. So a lot of good, you know, abstinence, a lot of good program and recovery. And yeah, so I started going to office meetings on a regular basis. I continued to maintain the weight I had lost. I continued to stay abstinent, and I have been abstinent from sugar, you know, refined flours on a regular basis. I mean, no abstinence is perfect, and I'm not even going to try to say mine is, but I feel healthy, and I turned 77 in November. I don't take any drugs, and my doctor always goes, "So, could you talk to me about your supplements?" Just like, okay, we'll talk about them. You know, I have been blessed with good health, and I'm going to give this program a lot of the credit, my abstinence a lot of the credit. And my genes. Oh, you know, I didn't do hardly any of it, but I have to do the footwork, as we all know. I started becoming more active in the program when I came back, when I started going to face-to-face meetings, and those meetings I could talk, because they weren't 90-day meetings. So I got a sponsor who I really liked and I would speak with on a regular basis. I started sponsoring, which is always for me, has always been so helpful for my program. There's nothing better for me than to talk about my recovery and how I did this and how I do this and what I do. You know, back in the day, we had so many slogans, you can't keep what you don't want to give away. And I was just like, okay. Some people have stayed with me. One person I've been sponsoring about 4 or 5 years. You know, newcomers come and go, but I love newcomers because they remind me where I was, you know, not so long ago, actually. You know, OA has just been, it's given me so much. It gave me a way to live happy, joyous, and free. It gave me a way to eat without killing myself. You know, I've been working a lot around emotional sobriety in my program these last year and a half or so. And that's a lot of work, you know, to be emotionally sober and start to understand, you know, your tendencies and your codependency and how food is all wrapped up in all of that. You know, is parting it out has been interesting, to say the least. So, you know, the nice thing about getting old is you can just keep growing. And the wonderful thing about OA is has given me a purpose in my aging. You know, not everybody wants to talk to a 77-year-old, but you know, some people do. And I'm willing to do that if someone wants, you know, to try to understand what this program's all about. And I really like talking to young people. They're really interesting people and interesting ways of, you know, being friends with them. You know, we're all young at heart, right? That's how I look at it. We're all still just 25. And I wouldn't want to be 25 again, by the way. I think I'm done. This time's up there on the corner. Oh, good. I was very stressed out about this. Anyway, thank you for asking me to serve. It has been my pleasure.